It was 29 years ago. My wife and me had just been married. We moved into this rental house on the south side of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was a nice house, quaint, older neighborhood. Not bad from what we could tell in the late summer of 1990. We did know that there were some risks, perhaps, of crime, misbehavior, other deviant behavior going on a block or two down. But we paid him no mind. We were newly married, figuring stuff out. You know how it goes. And then the month of December came upon us. It started out pretty well. Christmas is coming. We were getting ready. I was working and also still finishing up college. My wife, she was working. And one Sunday, just before Christmas, from what I remember, it's been a long time, but I believe it was that week, my wife decided I was working a second shift. She was attending church down the street. She came home and the door was open. Everything was black. No lights were on. And she walked in and said my name and realized it was a break-in. And she kind of walked here and walked there, stumbled over a few things, and finally found a place where she thought she could be safe. But then called me immediately to say, "Mark, we've been broken into." Now, this house that we were living in was adjacent to an alley. And that alley was just off the street. And when I got home, we could see footprints in the snow. We called the police. And we said, we don't know what to do. Where do we go to next? And it was Wednesday, after that Sunday, I was sitting in the living room. And as I was sitting there, minding my own business, I think wrapping up something for my college classes and so on, all of a sudden I heard a banging sound, a crashing sound. And it was the basement window being kicked in by another perpetrator. And I ran fast. I ran down the stairs and I screamed at the top of my lungs to scare away the guy. And we found a set of keys that dropped right where the window was smashed. His, of course. And we called the police again and said, "Look, we can't deal with this anymore. What are we going to do?" Well, a policeman came over and brought a device where you could then put a string, a trip wire, if you will, from one part of a doorway to another part of a doorway. As they came back again, they would trip the wire and the police would be alerted right away. We were done. And my wife and I approached the landlord and they allowed us to get out of the lease and we moved. The neighbors came around us too, who we got to know, and said, "Well, sorry to see you go. Yeah, there's been a lot of drug activity going on around here all the time." We could only assume that the reason for the break-in was to see what they could steal, to sell, to get money, and get the drug. It was a scary time for my wife and me. We moved to a better pocket of town, closer to the college, and helped us to move forward. A bit traumatic. As I think back, I'm still reconciling things and still saying, well, God, I put in your hands. Addiction. Addiction to whatever drug you could think of. Produces a negative consequence. We've been talking about that, haven't we? In this whole video series, Breaking the Addiction Cycle. The last video was about the addiction cycle. A little more close up. Looking at the madman. Looking at insanity. Looking at how it doesn't matter if God is real or not. If God is dead, so be it. I'm going after that drug. And the cycle continues. The emotional pain never seems to go away if I'm going to attach myself to that drug of choice. And as we go deeper with this study on the addiction cycle and breaking it, we also need to understand that there, as far as making a case for addressing all people, addressing all addiction issues, you and I have, as I mentioned in the last video, we all have something. And as I said before, it could be food, it could be the crack cocaine, it could be shopping, pleasing people. The Israelites, well, they saw fit to seek out the Baals. They love the Asherahs. They love Chemosh. He must have been he was an attractive god for them to get into. It was in style in that ancient day. There was another god of the other people groups. Well, we could see that god. The god that we serve, we can't see him. So it must be true. That god is real. And what does it require? Sexual activity? Doing this? Sacrificing your firstborn? We're on it. Whatever it took. They did what was right in their own eyes, and that's exactly where addiction brings us to. And after that happens individually, collectively, there's an effect on the society. Just like with my story, 30 years ago, well, 29 years ago, excuse me, right now, and it seems like 30 years ago, at that time, at that place, that those two break-ins in 1 week, and it's all drug-related. And you felt violated. And the neighbors came around us. It was a community concern. A community issue. And a social affect and effect. The affect was fear. As well as concern. As well as, well, indifference at times. Because, well, it always happens. This neighborhood, expect it. Have you locked your doors? But still, there's trauma. And also other negative consequences, as we discussed with the addiction cycle. Boundaries have to be put up, yes. But sometimes it's hard to do. What are those boundaries? And there have been case studies. One in particular in North Dakota. They've done a lot of study in the state of North Dakota here in the United States, for those of you watching internationally. And in the state, they took the time to look at what was really going on around the communities in North Dakota so they can get a good case study in place to understand probably what's happening nationwide, either more so or less so, or at the same levels. How addiction affects society. The social affects, effects of addiction. Let's take a look. This was done in Mandan, North Dakota, by Dr. Clark, director of the Center of Substance Abuse Treatment, and of course, dealing with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And as we take a look, of course, George Bush was president at the time, back in 2003, and this went into 2007 and 2008. So looking at the effects and affects still relevant today. Yes, it's 2019, I know. But we look back at what has been done. And here in the United States, we have a census that's also done. That also tells us a lot of information, a lot of data, telling us about our society every 10 years. So we're about due. They're about to do another census going to 2020. But President Bush here at this time says alcohol addiction and drug addiction continue to challenge our nation. And I'm sure it's challenging for those of other nations, addiction and of all kinds is challenging you too. Addiction to alcohol or drugs in general, whatever drug that may be, destroys family ties, friendship, ambition, and moral conviction, and reduces the richness of life to a single destructive desire. President Bush was right on. He couldn't have said it any better. Because we all, in every society, whether you're in the East or the West, and when it comes to addiction, addiction makes us into liars, thieves, and cheats. And yet, we wonder why. The good that I want to do, I don't do, Romans 7, remember? And the things I hate, I do. And I need to understand what's going on with me. It's all spiritual. And the spiritual translates into the physical, the societal, the emotional, everything. Let's take a look. What did the North Dakota folks and the U.S. Department of Mental Health discover? Well, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or CSAT, also looking at SAMHSA, which is also the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration for short. SAMHSA's mission is to build resilience and facilitate recovery for people with or at risk for substance abuse and mental illness. Because they do hang together. Often with mental illness, there is addiction. And of course, with addiction, we all have it in some way, shape, or form. Center for Substance Abuse Treatment, CSAT, that is, their mission is to improve the health of the nation by bringing effective alcohol and drug treatment to every community. Hence, the United States as our case study. Well, the impact of addiction, it impacts individual behavior, health, thinking process, quality of life, overall functioning. Alcohol or the drugs are powerful, reinforcing psychoactive substances that take on a life of their own. And just to give you another story to illustrate, not only was it that first house for my wife and me, and those perpetrators that wanted to get our stuff, sell it, and get the drug, it also related to my first job in Chicago. In Chicago, I had the job as a case manager. I had 12 people in my caseload. They all had mental illnesses of one kind or another, and they all needed community services. In fact, the name of the organization I worked for was Community Counseling Centers of Chicago, formerly Edgewater Uptown Mental Health Center. They're all still called Community Counseling Centers of Chicago. They serve the community at large in that city. And one of my clients, we'll call him Timothy. Timothy was from a wealthy family. He lived in one of the most prestigious suburbs of Chicago, North Shore. That is the North Shore, if you look on the map, of Lake Michigan. And as he grew up in his well-to-do family, could have anything he wanted. Unfortunately, due to whatever family of origin issues he was dealing with, fell prey to an addiction to LSD as one of his drugs. And from there, alcohol and other things, and it finally took his mind. He damaged his mind so badly. At age 16, 17, going to 18, 19, he began to form mental illness, other emotional problems, and he would act out and cause trouble. Well, He went from the secure home to the street and found himself on the north side of the city of Chicago, walking the streets, finally came to the community counseling centers of Chicago and found services. I came on the scene right there in the fall of 1992, actually summer of 1992, and as a case manager, I was learning these cases, learning, you know, Timothy's situation, and he was quite volatile, erratic. One morning, that October of that year, he woke up at about 7:30 in the morning. All he had in his apartment was a mattress, a kitchenette, and that was about it. He reached over for his lighter and his cigarettes. He lit his lighter, and then kaboom! The whole apartment exploded. 40% of his body was burned, and he faced his mortality. And fortunately, by God's grace, came out of it alive. In fact, he thought God was mad at him, that God was punishing him. God wasn't. It was just a bad accident, a gas leak in the apartment. Who was at fault? The apartment management. But as he came through that traumatic experience, his family, who he had burned the bridge, he had disconnected himself from because of his addiction, his mental illness, and his behavior. They came to his aid, finding out that he almost died. He was still family. His older brother decided to put him up in an apartment where things were better, and it just happened to be in a very nice part of the city. Well, that lasted for just so long. I eventually left that job as a case manager after a good year and a month or so, and went back to school, to seminary, and at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And as I was driving down one of the main streets near Trinity, in fact, in the same suburb that Timothy grew up in, there Timothy was, sitting at a bus stop, rocking back and forth with a Bible in his arms. And he was saying, "Mark, I want to do God's will. Mark, I just want to do God." Kept on repeating. And I'll never forget it. I thought, wow. I thought that with the help of his brother, he had that solace. He had the support, finally. He had the services, too, to help him through the issues. He had the case management. He had the medical attention. What happened? And for some reason, he got into his head, and then things happened this way with mental illness, that he had to leave the city. He had to go and do his calling and left everything his choice. Addiction. Having its effects that are baffling, as I said before, it will change life as we know it in a heartbeat, and also change the trajectory of people's lives without warning. Coming back to North Dakota and that case study, and also looking at the whole U.S. situation, looking at the SAMHSA again, the substance abuse organization here in the United States. They work to ensure that science or the ideology or anecdote forms the foundation for the nation's addiction treatment system. And they also serve health professionals and the public by disseminating scientifically sound, clinically relevant information and best practices in the treatment of addictive disorders, and by working to enhance public acceptance of that treatment. In other words, SAMHSA is there to help communities, to help Timothys, people like Timothy who are unpredictable, that need that extra support, that we hopefully with the information we glean, we can help the society at large. Because we look at population, we look at comprehensive solutions, holistic solutions, interventions, treatment, recovery support, health promotion. As I've been working in recovery support and ministry for over 20 years now, it gets to be tough. The question always is the same. Where is the church? How can the church get dirty, get their hands in the mud, and get involved? There are many ways to do it. The question really is, do we want to? And I pray by God's grace and power and conviction that we want to. God will show us how. And more of the church will rise up, like Timothy's family, to rise up. Hopefully do the best practices. To look at the evidence. There are challenges to reach those in need of services, like with Timothy. He went off on his own. Choices are made. It gets really, really tough. Providing adequate resources. Do we have what it takes to help those with dealing with addiction? Developing culturally appropriate evidence-based interventions and building, sustaining a qualified workforce that can, as similar to myself, at the time a case manager and also now with ministry, specifically focused on addiction support, recovery support, that we can help in the name of Jesus Christ, where we could see restoration. Jesus went to the addicted. He went to those who had leprosy. He went to those who needed to be restored, to the demon-possessed, and put them back in the right minds. Only God can do it. It is spiritual. But that translates into these community-based systems. As we look at the public sector, the private sector, they found, again, from 1986 to now 2003, look at the change in terms of public versus private support. Back in 1986, 33 years ago, it was about even. So it was $4.6 billion. 2003, at that time, $16 billion public, $4.7 billion private. So as projections indicate that the burden on the public sector will continue to increase. Now in 2019, it has increased even more. Why do I bring up the question about the church? It's because the church seems to be a bit disconnected from the services that are needed that it can give. The public sector, government agencies, and the like are overwhelmed. There is a need to intervene. Greater burden, tighter budgets. Just to highlight, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, 29 states in the United States faced budget shortfalls in 2009, 10 years ago, ranging from $59 million to $22.2 billion in addressing the problem of addiction. It seems overwhelming. The challenge remains. Despite tightening budgets, changing populations, challenges of alcohol and substance abuse remain. And according to 2007 National Survey of Drug Use and Health, in 2007, an estimated 19.9 million Americans aged 12 or older were current past month illicit drug users. It is a family affair. It is a community affair. It is everywhere. Slightly more than half of Americans, 12 and older, reported being current drinkers of alcohol. More than a fifth of them participated in binge drinking at least once in the 30 days prior to the 07 survey, which was done by SAMHSA. So looking at drug abuse, we look at the trends, illicit drugs, pain relievers, marijuana, cocaine, psychotherapeutics, methamphetamines. On the side, percent of using in the past month, and of course the years on the bottom from 2002 to 2007, and just how looking at the past month of use of specific illicit drugs among persons aged 12 or older. The problems continue. Past month, non-medical use of prescription drugs, psychotherapeutics, among persons 12 and older. And how this, again, we look at pain relievers, stimulants, sedatives, and tranquilizers. What we can see is that from 02, which is the red, to 07, which is the dark yellow, it continues to stay steady and also increase. Over here with stimulants, it decreased a little bit, but still, it's at an all-time high. And more statistics. Source for pain relievers were obtained for most recent non-medical use among past year drug users. We see that there is a difference with how they get the drugs from doctors, dealers. And the source for the friend or relative obtained, as we look here, looking at more than one doctor, from friends and relatives, bought or took from a friend and relative, the one doctor, from one study to another study, it is about 81% where the one doctor was the main issue. 2019, today, we have had it in the news, where the opioid issue is tantamount. It is increasing. And there are more deaths related to the same. Here on this map of the United States, illicit drug use in past month among persons aged 12 or older by state percentages, annual averages based on 05 to 06 during those years. We look at North Dakota, not that high. In other states, it would vary. Past month, alcohol use in 2007. Any use, 51%, 127 million. Binge use, 23%, 58 million people. Heavy use, 17 million. The study continues because there are social effects. Social effects. It reminds me of the story of the prophet Elijah. And 2 Kings, actually 1 Kings 18, as we look at that scripture, the people, again, like in the book of Judges, as we looked at the last video, the people looked at Elijah and said, "We follow the Baal because we, of course, can see Baal." And Elijah, the only prophet at the time left, true prophet, said, "Let's go to Mount Carmel." And as you may remember the story, you have the altar built to the Lord, rebuilt. There was the altar to the Baal. And the contest was on. The God of the Bible or Baal. So, Elijah said, "Go ahead, prophets. Call on Baal." Baal never came. Elijah called on God. Fire fell down. The community of Israel were shocked. It was, the God, Yahweh, And yet, after that initial flash of God's fire coming down, consuming the altar, they were indifferent. Due to the indifference, there is, in fact, that tendency within us as human beings, individually and collectively, to turn to that other God. We see the numbers. We can look at the stats. And we have many things to point to where, like the Israelites, we become indifferent. We turn back to a different God of our understanding. Joseph Stalin also turned to his God of his understanding. At first, he studied to be in the ministry. Then something changed. He found himself going to politics, communism, and killing his own people in Russia. And upon his deathbed, story goes, he was still angry and still acknowledged the God of the Bible, even though he claimed to be atheist. He shook his fist at God again and again on his deathbed. And upon that last act of defiance, breathed his last. His addiction was power. His denial was God. In the wake of his denial, in the wake of his addiction to power, so it went that millions of people lost their lives. Addiction has an impact on society. And I know that you have probably experienced it in a personal way too. Family member, maybe someone broke into your house. We all need to choose the God of the Bible. Because we all know that with God's help, we can restore society. Continuing your readings that are posted about the social effects, the quiz will reflect those readings on the substance use disorder issues. It affects not only the family, it affects the environment, it affects, of course, society, the morality, the loss thereof. And the effects continue on and on and on because the question comes back to who or which God you choose. And the next videos will look at the psychological effects as well as the effects that specifically target the family. See you then.